Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi all, and welcome to episode, 33 I think.
33.
Of From Long Distance to Marriage. Sorry for the hiatus last week. As I mentioned in our live video and an Instagram post, we had a lot going on last week and we just couldn't actually physically sit down together to do an episode. But we are back and we're having an awesome weekend. It's sunny. We went up to London yesterday and what did we eat?
Barbecue.
And it was yummy.
It was fantastic.
It's fantastic. I ate so much meat that I almost got the meat sweats. And then we saw Ma. Okay, time for another movie review.
Mm. All our movie reviews are horrors.
Well, we see a lot of horror movies.
I'm fucking excited for that Child's Play film too.
Okay, well, let's stick to Ma. So Ma is like kind of a more of a thriller horror. It's not like a slasher movie. It's not like ghosty or anything. It's just more of a thriller psychological thing. And it has one of my favorite actresses, Octavia Spencer, in it. And it's just really good. It's different. Very unique. So it's not like you feel like you're just seeing a rehashing or a sequel. And it was creepy. You thought that it was kind of a slow burn?
Yeah, I think it was good. I think the slow burn bit was... because I quite like films like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind films that are slow, but I think it was kind of slow for too long. But then there's a very sudden turn of events. That's my only sort of criticism of it, is it like from that sudden turn of events to the end was fucking insane, but it wasn't very long.
Yeah, it was probably like 20 minutes where it was like, what?
So,
but the rest of it wasn't boring.
I don't think it should have been like it all the way through. I think it would have been weird, but yeah, it wasn't, it was getting kind of boring. It was kind of like,
I wasn't bored at all.
But it was a good film. It was very different.
It was very,
ended well.
It was very socially interesting.
And I don't think there's going to be a sequel to it, which was nice. Like, you watch, you didn't think, oh, they've left this open for a sequel.
No, I was really not much
because sequels get on my tits.
Unless they're good.
Yeah, but when everything's geared up to there has to be a sequel. Like, it just, everything feels like a fucking universe now.
Mm. But for our fellow horror lovers, Annabelle Comes Home, which is like, I think the third Annabelle film. Do you not think it looked good?
I mean, I like that universe. Yeah, we like the Conjuring films.
But
it looked a bit like, you know how my criticism of the new Godzilla trailer is just like, well, let's just have massive monsters and they're just going to fight and... that's basically what Annabelle would look like. I was like, let's just get all the haunted toys and make them go, like, on a rampage in a house.
I don't think that's what it looked like.
Yeah, dude. She's like, what else did you show? She's like, everything.
Yeah,
but... and then she said, like, Annabelle's this conduit for, like, all the spirits. It just was like, everything goes fucking mental in this film. And it may be really good, I don't know. But as a first trailer, I wasn't too impressed.
I'm intrigued. It looks better than The Nun.
Yeah, well, The Nun was dog shit.
It's the only movie in that universe that we've just thought
of. I hope people listening to this like horrors, otherwise they can be really bored.
Yeah, it's true.
But Child's Play... one of my favourite horror franchises of all time.
I hope they do it better, because it is not one of my favourite.
The last few films have been let down, but the original two were really good. I enjoyed 3, 4, I really liked.
One was 2? Was that when he goes to military school?
No, that was 3.
Which one's the second one?
The second one's when Andy's in foster care.
Is it a different kid that plays him? He's a little bit older.
No, I think that was 3.
Mm-hmm.
But he, that's when he's in foster care, and they've got their own good guy doll, and Chucky kills it and takes his place.
Was it alive? Kill it,
no, you know, he destroys it and buries it and takes his
place. I thought he was the only fucked
up. It was a good, but yeah, then sort of from 5 onwards, they got a bit weird. But they've got Mark Hamill, voicing him. He sounds really fucking good. So.
Have we seen any movies lately that aren't horror films?
Yes, but what did we see in the cinema recently?
Rocket Man.
Oh yeah, let's not talk about Rocket Man. What a disappointment.
We weren't really big fans.
I think we should warn people, because I wasn't forewarned that it was a fucking musical.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be a bit more like Bohemian Rhapsody, where there's tons of music, but it's because they're performing it and practicing it and recording it.
All in the house, and then suddenly... because when that first happened, I was like, what? So why is he singing at his dad? He's not going to be... and then it just turns into this full-on musical. I was like, oh, dear.
He looked at me. Rich gave me this look. Like, I'm not
because it's in the first 15 minutes, I'm thinking, this is going to be like this throughout the film.
And he hates musicals. I don't mind musicals. I wasn't really hoping that one would be. You don't mind a musical if we go to see a show in London, though.
That's different.
Like a play.
That's different. But, like, when it's a movie and it's just like, No one does this. No one just starts breaking into song and dance in a conversation.
Well, neither do they when it's a play.
Yeah, but a play is a different thing. It's not, you know, it's different, but...
Yeah, just
I don't think it benefited from being a musical.
Yeah, it was a musical for sure, so be warned.
It just wasn't the story I was expecting.
But Taron Egerton, the actor, did a fantastic job. We really like him.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I forgot what we were talking about today.
This week, we are talking about...
Oh, Hard Conversations. Did I just ruin the surprise?
You just took my whole job for this entire episode.
It's in the title, people know. It's just we'd forgotten.
So we're talking about having the hard conversations. That could be in just like a relationship, if you're not married yet, if you are married, even if you're long distance, there's going to be some hard conversations you have to have at times that crop up. And we've had quite a few of these.
This isn't just the topic of what might be a difficult conversation, like something you're not happy with. It could just be that you're with someone who you have to be a bit mindful of how you approach a conversation.
Yeah.
So it could just be that the conversation, like, you might think, oh, this isn't, it's not really a criticism, it's not a big deal, but you just know that actually they're kind of sensitive to what they perceive as, you know, they might take it badly. So I think we need to cover the fact that it's not just what you say, it's choosing your moment, choosing your words.
And what made us think of this, we've actually had this idea jotted down for a really long time as a topic we wanted to cover, but lately, in the past several episodes, we've had a lot of people contacting us about questions they have that have turned into, like, request episodes, basically. So we have wanted to do this for a long time, but yesterday, when we were driving into London to meet our friend for lunch, we listened to an episode of Tim Ferriss's podcast. It was quite a long episode, but there was a bit where they're talking about relationships. And basically,
what was interesting about that, though, sorry to interrupt, was the guest was married, but Tim isn't married.
But he's in a committed relationship.
He's in a great relationship. Yeah. From what I understand, he doesn't really
like the idea of marriage. Yeah.
But the I'm just really pointing out, this isn't just for married couples. It's just if you're in... And I would say, even if it's not currently long-term serious community, but you want it to be, this could be a good habit to get into.
So do you want to explain kind of what he does?
So basically, I like the way his guest described it as everything important in life should be opt out. And what he meant by that was everything that's important to you should be on your calendar. Like, he gave the example of Sunday, call mum. Like, what it said, whatever. And then you can decide on that day, I won't do that. Rather than letting life happen to you and be like, oh, I think I'll call mum today. If it's important to you, you should have it there in your life to do, and then it's up to you on that particular day whether or not you do it. So when it came to this topic in particular, it turns out both of the Tim and his guest, independent, not knowing it of the other one, both had on their calendar sit downs with their other half to talk about actually that's not entirely true, is it? Tim did it.
Well, what it all started with was that the guest was talking about how, you know, he's a very successful businessman. Before he was getting married, they were arranging a prenup, and he said how they had Google spreadsheets and checklists and agendas for when they would sit down and talk about their future. And one of these talks was their, do they need a prenup? How are they going to do this? And he said, you know, a lot of people think that it's really strange to have a conversation with your partner where you have a document, a checklist, an agenda. You know, and if you're not familiar with the meeting world, an agenda is these are the things we're going to talk about, and this is the outcome we want from this meeting. So point A, we're talking about this. Point B, we're talking about this. And so I think Tim was saying how he understands that people find that really strange, but it's something that he and his partner do so often.
So, but what he said was the way he works, so he's obviously self-employed, and he said he doesn't like to be distracted. So over time, he and his girlfriend realised that if she's got something bothering her about the relationship or about him,
or just something she wants to bring up,
then they basically have this dedicated time so she's not stopping him working. I don't think it's as sort of bad as it sounds, like Jack Nicholson The Shining, you know, when she bugs him.
She's not allowed to talk to him.
We have this dedicated time where all the things you want to talk to me, I'll be in a receptive mood, I'll be going into it prepared for this. It won't be a shock that, what do you mean you're not happy about this? And then the conversation in the two of them went down the path of, do you know what, this is a really good thing for couples to do. It doesn't have to be a negative. it can be the things bothering you. And he said they go into it and they open it up with each one of them will say what they think they've been doing well recently. Like
themselves.
Themselves. Yeah. You'd be like, you know what, I've been making an effort to...
make the bed.
Stack or, the dishwasher. Yeah, or walk the dogs.
Listen to you more. Or whatever.
And I think that I'm also aware that I'm probably not doing great in this area. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm not paying enough time with you and paying enough attention to you. Or maybe I'm not... loading the dishwasher, like, you mm-hmm. know, so you have your own sort of self-assessment.
These can be as serious things as, like...
Well, it's all going to depend on your relationship. If you're still long distance, it may be, you know, I really want us to spend more time video talking.
Yeah.
If you're living together, it may be, I want you to load the dishwasher. It's going
to
depend on the relationship.
I want us to commit to when our next visit's going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever.
So I don't think we can really advise on what the content's going to be.
No, but all I'm saying is that it might just be for little pet peeves that...
Yeah.
It, like, things more like, oh, I haven't been taking the trash out, or you haven't been taking the trash out.
And it may not be a bad thing at all. It may be that, do you know what do we want our future to look like? Do
yeah.
we seek, I mean, we've had our conversations like this have really focused about finances a lot of the time. It's like, okay, we should get a budget together. What's important to us? You know, we've discussed whether we want to pay our mortgage off early and commit to overpaying it. You know, so ours has been sort of financial, but it wasn't bad conversations. It was just, you know what, we need to make sure we're on the same page about yeah. the important things in life.
So back to this podcast. So the first two things are, yeah, what I think I've been doing well, what I think I can improve on, and then what I think you can improve on, or no, what you,
like
what, no, what you've been doing well.
Yeah.
So I've been like, oh, you know, I noticed you've been really making the effort to pay more attention when I'm talking, or, you know, do the grocery shop, whatever. And then I'd like to see more of this. And then he said that it started out as this category was shit you need to do, so stuff you're not doing, and then it became things you need to improve on or something, and then it became like things I'd like to see more. And so the psychology around that term was very interesting, because it's like, you're not doing this and I need this, rather than, you know, oh, you did this the other day and you don't normally do that and I really liked it and I'd like to see
more
of that.
It was more constructive feedback than
yeah.
criticism. So, but so,
and then they switch turns and then the other person goes.
So bringing it back to the title of this episode, it's... like you said, we've had a number of heated discussions.
Not even heated, just hard, emotional.
But, you know, arguments and things. And we've said before that you can learn from arguments and they're positive and all that, and we maintain that. But the point of this isn't a heat of the moment thing. And I don't think it's going to replace all the heat of the moment things, but it might be, okay, I'm noticing that... it's not, you don't do one thing one day, that's going on the list. It's like, okay, I'm noticing that they're kind of slipping there. And, oh, do you know, I really noticed they're making an effort here. And self-awareness for yourself to, like, okay, I need to make an effort here. You can just maybe add it to the list and say, okay, I know that Friday afternoon or Friday evening we're going to go out for pizza and we're going to talk about this. And you've got your little list, and it's not an attack list. It's a, these are the things that I think we want to talk about list. That's not to say you're not going to have arguments, but it's just to say, should I bring this up now? You know, do I want to have... pick your battles. Do you want to have a big blow up now, or do you want to wait until you're calm and they're not going to feel like it's been sprung on them as an attack, and you can just have a sensible, mature conversation? Because that's ultimately where that's where the victory is going to come from for both of you. It's not going to be, hopefully it's not going to be this war between
it
you.
Might
and you
start
a,
that
you
way though, like...
may, I think people may feel sensitive, but I think ultimately, if you both go into it with the right intention, you both know this conversation's happening, you're both prepared to hear things that, you know, that you haven't been doing very well, and you may or may not be aware of them, but you're both going into it knowing it. It's not you're merrily minding your own business watching your favourite TV show, and it's like, hey, why the fuck have you been doing this lately? You know, it's different conversation. And I think that's really... and especially if you know it's a hard conversation. If you're long distance, it's like, I can't not see you for 9 months. That conversation can very quickly be, well, why is it on me to do this? Why aren't you coming to see me? I can't afford it. Like, what do you want me to do? It can very quickly turn into that defensive. And when, as soon as it gets defensive...
especially when you're apart, because your emotions are so heightened.
But as soon as you get defensive, it's no longer productive. And I think that's the key to this particular topic. If you're having hard conversations, the benefit of having this little meeting, for want of a better word, is that it can be productive rather than defensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one's there thinking like, well, do you know what, fuck you, I don't want to do this anymore. It's much more, okay, I hear you, yeah, you know, you're right, or, well, I disagree, but this is why I disagree, maybe you can reach, you know, maybe the other person didn't realize, like, we've done that. Like, oh, I didn't know that that's what you're currently dealing with, or I didn't know you'd been doing this other thing instead that was taking up your time so you couldn't do both. Like, whatever it might be, it just gives them a chance without feeling attacked.
Yeah.
And you can bring up any conversation in this. It could be, I don't even know, anything.
It could be finance related. I want you to cook dinner
or finance. Yeah, it could like be chores, sex. Visits, in-laws, like.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's really, it's whatever format works best for you. And I think a lot of people might feel like, well, no, I mean, I should be able to talk to my partner about whatever, whenever, which also is true, but, you know, life gets busy, you know, we all have a lot going on, and I think it's more importantly a focus about being in the right headspace to receive that, because, yeah, I can say whatever I want to Rich, not whenever, not in front of other people or things like that, within reason. But it doesn't always mean that he's going to be in the right mood for it. If he's playing, he has a favorite game he plays on his phone. If I ask him to do anything then, it'll be, I'll get, yeah, give me 5 minutes, and then I'm frustrated. So it's better for me not to ask him things during that. And say, hey, can that be your last game? We need to do something, or I need to talk to you, you know?
I normally do that if it's just, like, I want to unwind for 10 minutes. It's not...
Oh, no, you're not always doing it. It's like a
man-child syndrome where I just want to play my games.
No, it's just, like... You play often, but not for a long time, if that makes sense. It's kind of like if we're about to do something, but we've got like 10 minutes before we need to leave and, you know, whatever. It's not a problem, but I just know that if I ask you, can you do this? Can we talk about this? I can't have you during that time. Like, you're focused, and that's fine because I can wait 10 minutes. Obviously, if there was something wrong, you'd be like, well, let me put it down.
But I think also this doesn't have to be only about bad things or things to improve. I think
it could be bringing up, hey, we want to go on this vacation.
Yeah, but I think basically it comes down to going back to the thing about the important things being opt out. It's,
what do you mean opt out?
Opt out is it's in your diary and you're going to do it unless you decide not to do it. So you can opt out of it rather than just say, oh, I think we need to talk about this today, and it's just spur of the moment off the cuff. But it's, you're committing yourself to this person and you want that relationship to do well. And I think people, it's easy to underestimate what forever really is, the rest of your life. And if you're relatively young, that's a long time.
Mm.
It doesn't just happen. You have to be conscious. You make mistakes, but it's a conscious thing to improve and to think, what can I do better? What do I want to see from you? This kind of intentionality of sitting down and saying, do you know what, we are a team, we're a partnership. There's nothing wrong with treating it, in a sense, like a business on that occasion. People think, oh, it has to be romantic and it should just happen. And it's like, but it doesn't, especially after...
years or whatever.
Yeah, you know, as time goes on, it becomes much more like you're used to each other, you're in your routines, it's, what do you want? Do you know what? Well, you're not just going to sweep each other off your feet all the time. You're not going to just go, oh, I've booked a surprise holiday.
Or, I'm not sweep you off your feet.
Not all the time, but you know what I mean? Like, we have to say, where do you want to go away? Okay, well, obviously for us, it normally means going to America to visit your family. But again, that's like, okay, when are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? Where are we getting the money for the tickets? So it's like, just life gets in the way. So if you say, okay, this is really important to me, you're really important to me, I want this to last, I want this to go the distance, that means we both have to come together at an agreed time and just talk about what we want. Do we want children? Do we want a property portfolio? Do we want to travel the world, or do we want to have a house that we own? You know, anything like that. And yeah, fine, it doesn't mean you have to every week, but you can say, we don't need it this week, we'll opt out this week.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
It might be,
and if it's on the diary, sorry, just one more thing, if it's in the calendar as a regular occurrence,
people probably forget I'm in this episode.
No, I don't think they will, you opened it. But if you have it in the diary as a regular occurrence and it's normal, but if one of you says, and you don't, if you don't do this regularly, one of you says, I think we should have a little meeting this week, that's going to freak the other person out. It's like, oh my God, why do we need to sit down and talk?
Well, it's like when you come home and it's like, we need to talk. It's always like, oh, fuck. Like, if you're not normally doing that.
And then you think, have I done something? I don't think I've done anything wrong.
I remember one time years ago, before we bought this house, we were living in the house rented from your dad. And you'd been at band practice. And you used to get home a lot later from that. So I was asleep. But I'd written you a little card. And, like, left it on your pillow. And the next morning, it was just nice thing. Sweet little note I left for him. And the next morning, he's like, thank you for that. I got home and I was scared. I was like, why she left me a note? Like, well, I guess if she was leaving me, she wouldn't be in the bed.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah,
like, you can just scare people. But I think when we were listening to this episode in the car yesterday, or the episode of the podcast we're talking about, you know, Richard, what did you think of that? Like, is that something you'd be open to doing? Or you didn't even ask me.
Because I'd heard it before, and I said, I think you should listen to this episode, because it's not all relevant, but there's a really good bit at the end about relationships.
So, yeah, and I've been listening to it without Rich, but I didn't finish it, so we finished it, you know, in the car yesterday together. And, yeah, we talked about kind of the pros of it, the cons of it. We haven't really decided for sure if we'll do it, but we probably will end up doing it. But what he said is, yeah, what's interesting about that is, like, people don't tend to always do stuff like that in their marriages, but, like, you have a review at least once a year, normally at your job, where you sit down with your boss and they say, you've been doing really great at this, we'd like to see more of this, you know, you need to work in these areas, is there anything more you need from us for you to be able to complete these objectives? I mean, we do that in other areas of our life. You know, when you buy a house, it is appraised. Oh, it's very structurally sound. This, you need to look out for this. Everywhere else, we are continually assessing things. Like here, our cars, we take them to get them checked up every year.
Take the dogs to the vets.
Take the dogs, your body, you know, you go to the doctor and just get a checkup, even if everything's okay. And sometimes you find maybe nothing's wrong, but ooh, your vitamin whatever levels are a bit low. You should make sure you incorporate, you know, there's little tune-ups that you can do and pretty much everywhere throughout your life. Why aren't people doing this in relationships in this way? Maybe they are, but not everyone is.
I think, one, people listening to this are probably, you know, the fact that to be listening to this, you've had to seek out a podcast on this topic. So you're already sort of in the
relationship, I'm going to say, like,
elite public who do want to take things to the next level. They're looking for it. I don't imagine we're the only resource that people have. It's just like...
Just the best,
yeah, totally. But, you know, they're saying, okay, I want to find out how to make this long-distance relationship work, or I want to just get relationship tips, or whatever. You know, you're looking to improve. And it's funny to me that we'll sit down, we'll get on our phones, our iPads, computers. I don't mean me and you, I mean people generally. And you'll look up, like, what's the best console? What's the best car? How do I make these improvements in my life? What's the best recipe for this meal? Where's the best place to stick? Like, you look how to level up things in life. But a lot of people just assume their relationship's good because, oh, we're compatible, we're good together. That's good. And you put it to one side, like, that's always going to be that way. But it's not. You can neglect your partner. You can feel unfulfilled by your partner. You can change you can start to diverge on what you want.
On that, though, I think that it's much more intimidating to try and improve that aspect of your life because... okay, what's the best car in this price range? That's one-sided. There are not two people involved in that. So it's a lot more like, oh shit, like if I bring
it's up, binary. But it's like, people now, I think, get off put by the whatever. You know, they get,
scared.
Yeah, by the idea of like, oh, 50% of marriages end in divorce. Like, there's these scary rates of relationships fail. And then you hear from like, it's always the people with the worst things to say that have the loudest voice. It's always, like, the people who've been burned by women, or they've been divorced, or their partner cheated on them, or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a mug's game, that's for losers, I'm never doing that again, I'm going to just be, like, this island. And they're never fucking happy, you know? But it's like, yeah, but what did you do to make that relationship good? Like, did you have a common purpose? Did you have a shared goal? Did you... just check in with each other regularly and just say, are you still happy with me? Are we still heading in the same direction? Like, what do you want from me? And, like, it doesn't just happen. We've said before that you're two individual people that come together to make one relationship, but you're still two individual people. And part of being a person is your wants change and your thoughts change, your opinions change, maybe your politics changes, maybe your religion changes, maybe that you did or didn't want kids and that's changed. If you're not having the conversations and the communication about that, very, very quickly you grow apart and maybe there's resentment there. And I think, to me, this episode is about you can nip that in the bud by just staying in touch.
Mm-hmm. I need to start having a notepad while we're up here.
There's one right there.
There's no pen, so I can jot down ideas as you ramble on.
It's not rambling, that's fucking wisdom.
You are. God, what is wrong with you? I was going to say something, but once again, I have forgotten, because you're on a roll.
Yeah, I'm on a roll, yeah.
On a roll. Yeah, I think that it can be very emotional. I think that's where the challenge comes. Like, I know that for me personally, there's been times when something has been bothering me, or something's been upsetting me, or grating on me about our relationship. Nothing huge, just little things, but, you know, little things... if you don't, as Richard said, nip them in the bud, they can become bigger and heavier and eventually be the straw that broke the camel's back. And there's been times when, you know, I just thought, you know what? I can't be bothered to have the emotional or upsetting conversations that come with this. So I'm just going to deal with it and get over it. It's more for the things that I've mentioned over time. I mean, there's always going to be things in your relationship that grate you. And they've been going on since almost the beginning. Why don't you do this? I've asked you to do this, you know, and everyone has them about everyone in every relationship. And Rich always starts to notice that what's wrong. There's something you're not saying, blah, blah, blah. But that feeling of, I just can't be bothered to bring it up. I don't want the drama. I don't want I don't want a repeat of the conversations we've had over and over and over about this very topic. That's not really a good place to be. And, you know, by having these times that are set aside, that can be helpful. Or even just thinking about it for a little while to know how to better phrase it. I hope you don't mind me giving this as an example. Rich is the most brilliant person in the world, but for most of the time, he cannot either figure out or be bothered to put a dish in the dishwasher. And this has been going on for years, and I know it sounds petty, but it just bothers me that it's something he doesn't do. And recently, the cat has started jumping up on the counter to lick the plates that he leaves up there. So now that I'm able to say, before it was, why can't you do this? Why are you being lazy? Do you just not care? Do you just expect me to clean up after you? Those conversations didn't get us anywhere because, of course, I was annoyed and he felt attacked. But once the cat started getting up there and licking it, and we don't want the cat getting on the countertops, I was able to say, hey, babe, look, you know, when you do this, it encourages the cat to get up there. And, you know, she's going to keep getting up there because she thinks there's something exciting up there. And since then, you've been a lot better about putting it away because you now see, which is annoying because, sometimes people don't do things for the reason that you want them to, but you need to speak their language.
But I think also on this point, another area we've kind of bumped into each other is where you are doing it, You are making the effort and doing something, and then the other person doesn't notice it. And then the one time you slip up, it's like, oh, you haven't been doing that. It's like, I've been doing that. But no, you haven't. It's like, I have. Like, we have our tables on the side of the couch. We're like, so where the dogs like to get up there, and if there's a cup with tea in it or coffee in it, they're like, I'm having that. I'm taking that wrap. We don't live in a pigsty, but you know.
It's just if you get up for a minute and you can't,
a drink or a snack, you put it on the table where it belongs, and then yeah.
The doorbell rings, the timer goes off. You've
got to go to the toilet, whatever. We don't just leave shit lying around. But the dog's doing this, okay, we need to make sure we're picking all that up. That's something I've got really good at. That's my things I've been doing well, categories I've been doing. I'm really good at saying, I'm getting up, I'm putting my coffee up here, out of reach of the animals, and I'm taking any, trash.
Wrappers, whatever.
I'm throwing it away. You're not quite as good at that. But if ever I leave anything, even if I don't leave anything, if I say to you, oh, yeah, the dog got your... And it's not just food. They'll take your hairbands, whatever.
Oh, that's pens. The thing. Pens. Oh, my God.
But, you know, so if I say, oh, you know, you've really got to stop leaving stuff up there because the dog got it. You're like, well, you do it too. And I'm like, I haven't done it in a long time except for the odd occasion, and that's a frustration because you're like, you've not noticed that I've really been making an effort there.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you've been making an effort with your dishes.
I'm saying, Jim, I'm using that as an example, but I'm saying something to consider with this having the hard conversations is, one, are you, as the person about to make an accusation, are you correct in saying you have or haven't been doing this, but mm-hmm. the other person actually has been making a real effort? And then they're going to feel like, oh, you've not even noticed. And two, have the self-awareness to say, you know, I have or haven't been doing that. Like, I have been leaving my stuff there, or I have been taking my stuff out. And then say, do you know what? You know, I know I've been leaving my things there for the dogs to get or the cat to get. And that's something I'm going to improve on. And it's just come back to me that one of the things they mentioned in this podcast was they not only have this conversation, they take notes through it. They log that. Like, I think Tim said he uses Evernote. But then what was interesting was they said, we can look back. And then that's great, because then you can look back and say, oh, do you remember a year ago when we were really frustrated about
these dishes? These are issues or whatever,
and we fixed it, and now it's like this. And I think that's great, because we have to hold our hand up that that's not our original idea. We've heard it, and we're going to implement it. But it does show growth, but it also it's so easy when you're copying the day-to-day to forget where you used to be, what your concerns used to be, what your annoyances used to be. So if you can look back and say, Do you know what, actually, like, we've both done really well. Like, yeah, we've got these annoyances now, but they're new.
Or they're just little. Like, the dish one is not new, but it's tiny. Like, that's my biggest complaint about you.
Yeah. And but that's,
you know, I'm doing pretty damn good.
But that becomes a body of proof that you're compatible, that you listen to each other, that you're willing to change for each other. Like, that's great. That's, that becomes bigger than, oh, why do we need meetings? That's really weird. We're not a business. This is love and hugs and kisses.
But you know what?
But it goes, actually, do you know what? We've proven through this log that we've kept over the past 6, 12, however many months, even 1 or 2 months, you just say, I've changed that because you brought it up, and you've changed that because I brought it up, and that's great. And that shows that you're willing and compatible. But
I know it doesn't sound romantic, but I beg to differ in the sense that, like, a long-term relationship, whether you're just living together and very committed or you are married, it is like a business in some ways. There are finances to consider. There's, you know, facilities. So that's things like, is the house in good working order? Like the office? Is the bathroom in
good... We have blue jobs and pink jobs.
You, there's different jobs you do throughout, you know, throughout the marriage. There's the performance of it all. I mean, it kind of can be compared to a business. And you work together for the betterment of this partnership. You know, it's a life. There's admin, just like there is with a business. There's bills to pay. There's people to make happy. If you've got kids, you can see them as your clients. You know, like, yeah, it's not romantic, but there are parallels there. And they both take work to make succeed.
Yeah, I mean, if you see, like, you know, we're quite open that we haven't got kids, but you see parents, they've got this big calendar of who's got what clubs and activities, yeah, who's driving who there, and then who's going to be cooking dinner, and who's waking up in the night to feed them, or if they're not feeling well, or... Yeah, I mean, we've said before that people talk about relationships and, like, oh, this is what you've got to do to, like, to get that person. But no one really talks about sort of the day-to-day minutiae of, like, this is how you pay bills. This is the insurances that you're going to need. This is how you shop around for them. This is, like, who does that? Like, okay, for us, it tends to be me that manages that kind of stuff, and that's fine. That's my blue job. But it's, like, we weren't taught that. We had to move into our first apartment, our first flat, and learn, like, okay, well, we need this insurance, and we've got this problem, I'm going to look up how to fix that problem. Some of that being physical problems in there, like, the sink is blocked, and I had to unblock it, to the landlord's really not making life good for us, need to research how we resolve that. And there's, you know, there's a lot of things, and then, yeah, then so buying a house, you need different insurance, and there's all those kind of things. It's like, it's not just prancing around Paris like the rom-coms would have you believe.
It's,
like,
not, it's breakfast in bed and dancing in the kitchen all the time.
Yeah, like, it's hard work, and it takes both of you to be committed to it, and it takes the communication of to really get through it and enjoy it, and to be able to sit down at the end of the day and say, I still love you, I still want to spend time with you, and I think we've done well today. It takes more than just letting life happen to you.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't think people should be offended by the pink and blue job thing. You may be...
You can have different color jobs.
You can have them that color.
You can have the pride flag if you want.
You know, if you're in a male-female relationship, you may find that actually, you know, as a woman, maybe you prefer some of the blue jobs. Maybe you prefer mowing the lawn. Maybe
you've not said what blue and pink are, you know, because it's not about what they are, it's just who does them. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's whatever you are comfortable with and what you decide to get. But that doesn't mean that, like, cooking is always going to be the woman's job. It doesn't mean that, you know, blue is always going to be taking out the trash. It's whatever. And also in that podcast...
Yeah, if I ever do DIY, you're normally there, like, can I screw that in? Like, you know, yeah, it's not about traditional divisions of labour. It's just, this is your job and you're blue. And yeah, this is pink
and the guest on that podcast said something really interesting, and that, you know, they have different jobs. And he didn't use the terms pink and blue, but he just said that, you know, for instance, he just realized over time that his girlfriend, who became his wife, really, really hated taking out the trash. So he just thought, okay, I don't really mind that. That's my job. And then over time, he had, you know, the sentimentality of growing up in a family where his mom cooked all their meals and served the family the dinner every night. And it was great. And he loved that. And so his wife does that now. She makes dinner. You know, she puts it on the table. They eat together. And that's not a sexist thing, but that is something that makes him feel good and safe, like it did when he was a child. And so that's, you know, her job is cooking. And, you know, so it's whatever works for you. And they actually had another bit in that podcast, which we didn't listen to together. I think I listened to it when I was coming home from work the other day. It was something about if you're trying to divide, you know, the jobs and having a plan for who's going to do what in your relationship, which can save a lot of hard conversations, if you have a rule book, like, look, I don't mind doing this, you hate doing this, this is what we're going to do. It's actually talking, going through the things, and it's deciding, so the trash, for example, it's things that you hate and then things that you don't mind so that you can allocate those.
Yeah.
So for example, I hate taking out the trash. This works for us. And we have a huge trash can, so it's really, really heavy. Rich needs reminding, but he doesn't really have a problem with it. It doesn't bother you. You're not...
I need reminding for, like, to get, like, my money's worth out of those bags.
Yeah.
Like, there's more room in there.
Smush it down.
Yeah.
Only that he needs reminding is sometimes, you know, like, for instance, I do more cooking, so I use the kitchen trash can a lot more than he does. He won't realize that it's getting full as soon as I will. So it's like, oh, hey, just so you know, it's really full. Can you take that out? And but he also, always does. But it's going through those and being like, you know what? I really hate cooking. I'm sick of it. But I don't mind doing the dishes. So, okay, well, then you make dinner. I'll clean up after. So it's going through together. And that can save a lot of those, this isn't being done in the house. Why isn't being done? If you haven't talked about it or decided whose responsibility it is, or even switch on week. Maybe 1 week, one of you makes dinner and one of you cleans up, and then swap the other week. So it doesn't feel like you're doing the same thing your entire marriage.
Yeah, and I know that we have had, before we really got into the blue job, pink job thing, we had conversations like, oh, why have you not done that thing? I'm like, well, because I spent a lot of time today doing the bills, or like if we've had to change insurance or whatever, like basically finance bits. But like, I've been doing that, and that's kind of one of those jobs that isn't particularly visible. It just looks like you're on the computer. And you're like, oh, okay, sorry, I didn't know you were doing that.
Yeah, and that is something that to me adds huge value. Rich is really good at researching. He's like a dog with a bone with things, and he's also not afraid to be pushy with people. Those kind of conversations, like phoning up and asking for a better rate on our, you know, cable, or shopping for a better deal on, you know, insurance for our boiler, whatever, those things really stress me out, and I'm not very good at them. I could do it if I had to, but I'd much rather be in charge of making sure that we have clean clothes to wear every day, doing the grocery shopping, making sure there's food on the table, making sure that the dogs have, you know, those are things I'm better at. Rich is better at making sure that our life admin and bills and stuff run smoothly. And yeah, it, like Rich said, it's not a very visible job, but it's really important, and it makes our life run more smoothly. Does that mean that when we have a big house cleaning day on the weekend, he doesn't help? Absolutely not.
It's not a 24/7 job. What normally happens is
there's a whole bunch
of
ones.
Yeah, they all seem to happen around about this time of year. It's like,
or Christmas.
Oh, I've had that. Look. Oh, we've got that one. Oh, how can there be that one as well? Like, it's like, okay. And then I just sort of have to spend an evening or chunk of weekend, whatever, going through it. And
then we sit down and talk about what he's found together and what we think the best options are.
And then we've got a budget spreadsheet. Because we don't do, like, a budget of, like, personal spending.
No.
And we've got the episode on money management where we go into much more detail about what our system is. But we do have a budget spreadsheet that's all of our combined bills. So, you know, like the insurances and the mortgage and the
utilities.
That's on there. And then we've got our personal commitments, like car payments, what we spend on car insurance, what we spend on fuel for the car, how much the dog food costs, the cat food costs.
Yes, yeah, so like I pay for the pet food, Rich pays for the pet insurance. It ends up being about,
so that's
similar,
all on there. Like our Apple Music subscriptions, like that's all on the spreadsheet, just so we know this is our base costs, this is what our income is, and this is what we're left with, and that's how we then divide what we save and what we spend. So we haven't got a budget like I'm only going to spend 20 man a month this week on entertainment. We've got a lump sum of discretionary fund spending each every month, and we do what we want with it.
Yeah.
So we don't carry a budget of every day is this menial task. We have this overriding budget that basically gets updated annually when these things change. Like, okay, the house insurance has gone up, but this other payment's changed, or we've got rid of that payment.
We can get rid of this, or whatever. Yeah.
So we update that, and then we have to change the direct debits that we've got in the banking. So, because all the bills happen automatically, and it's great. We never think about our bills, really. Like, it just happens. So that's a little bit of life admin every year, or maybe twice a year. It's minimal, but that makes life so much easier for us. The payoff for it is that we do have these sort of chunks of time where it's, okay, this bill's come in, and it's up for renewal, and we've got to do this, that, the other. But, like, yeah, it's not particularly visible. But then you do other things. Like, you cook dinner, like,
every all the single time. Night. Except for maybe now and then you'll do something quick.
Yeah. And that's not really been discussed. That's just kind of a routine that we've fallen into.
Well, I tried to get you to cook dinner more, but you you're actually, like, you're a good cook, but you are kind of overwhelmed in the kitchen. Like, your timings, you struggle with, oh, I can't do this. Like, oh, my God. Do you remember that time you had to do Come Dine With Me for work? Oh, there's a show here in England called Come Dine With Me. And it's, like, over the course of a week, like, four or five different people go to each of those houses. And each night, one person hosts and cooks a meal. And they did this at Rich's old job.
Yeah, we had a team of seven. So it was, like, a good size. So every month. And the way we did it was we were all given a country. So I had Spain. And it's like,
which is hard. Like, there's no obvious Spanish.
Well, the problem with it was like, it wasn't done on a Monday. So you could do it Sunday.
Mm.
We did this on a Thursday, I think, or whatever day it was. It was during the week. Which meant you had to come home from work and then do a meal for seven people with different dishes. Because it was supposed to be like, it wasn't just one dish. It was, you had to do like the dessert and potential side dishes. So I was like, okay, I've got Spain. So we went Spanish omelette, wasn't it? Frittata thing.
Yeah, you had like a chicken dish.
And it wasn't
dish.
Cooking. And then we had this like cake I was going to do. And that wasn't cooking. And I was losing my shit in the kitchen.
And you sent me away. We got home and then had to go to the store to get his list of ingredients. It could have been better planned. But of course, he's a man. So he's not going to plan in the same way. Maybe some men, but not you.
I do normally plan quite really.
Not that kind of stuff. Well, this was a fair few years ago,
I think
too.
Maybe I just expected we'd have eggs. You know,
we probably did have eggs, but we needed to get loads of stuff, you know, different like spices and seasonings. The dessert didn't work, so you had to go buy donuts the next morning because you're like, they're kind of like churros. But it was a nightmare. And then it was like, oh, we don't have enough Tupperware to put all this shit in. So then I had to go out and get him Tupperware. And we were in the kitchen until like 11 o'clock at night. And I had to send you away and be like,
I've got to be up early and this thing's not cooking.
And you were being a dick to me.
Yeah,
and I'm like, this isn't even my fucking problem. And I'm taking over because you flap and like, oh God, like there's just been something like when we had to move.
What's your point with this?
I don't know. I just wanted to tell a story about how shit you are at cooking. So yeah.
So you cook.
I do the cooking because I'm much more calm and collected and I get freaked out and stressed by phoning to people about bills.
And then you're supposed to pick up dog poo. I said, we can get a dog. At the time I had snakes and I was like, I'll do everything to do with the snakes and you can, but I hate picking up dog poo.
I don't enjoy it, but it doesn't really bother me. So yeah, I'm in charge of picking up
the poo. That's your job. So yeah, we just have these sort of divisions of labour. And then I feel like, and then they're things we do together. It's like, oh, you know what, we've got to strip the bed today, we'll make the bed together.
Because it's easier to make the bed together.
Yeah, it's a big
But we share all the cleaning. Like, you know, Rich, you know, throughout the week, I probably like do the dishes a little bit more, but Rich does still get involved and do it.
I don't think people need to know all of our itinerary, but it's
just saying,
like,
there's things we do together.
There are things we do together and there are things we do, but it just means you know where you stand. It's like, if the bin hasn't been taken out, I'm not there going, why have you not taken this out? I know that's my job.
Mm.
You know, if there's mounds of dog shit in the garden, then I'm like, why have you not done that? You know, so just, you know where you are and where you stand. And for us, that kind of happened over time. But I think if we had known the option of, let's sit down and discuss it and plan it. And am I doing a good job, do you think? And these are the things I think you're doing well and not so well. And I agree with you, it's not romantic. I think if anything, it can help you be more romantic.
And be closer.
You're going to be closer and it's going to help you be more relaxed, both of you, because you know that needs doing, but they're in control of it. This needs doing and that's my area. It's going to help you be more relaxed. If you're more relaxed and you're happier and you're going to feel closer together.
Yeah, and I think...
And you're going to have fewer arguments because they're not going to feel ambushed.
We need to quickly kind of bring in a couple other topics that can be considered hard conversations. So, of course, there's things like money... There's things like the division of labor in the workplace. Those aren't necessarily hard topics, but they can quickly become hard conversations because you're frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But what about, like, if someone is concerned about infidelity? I don't think those should be waiting for these monthly sit-down talks. I mean, those need to be happening as and when, because you can't just sit there and wait, oh, I'm really worried he's cheating on me or she's cheating on me, but I'm going to wait until our talk in 2 weeks' time to address this.
Yeah, but I think even then, it's still about picking your moment. I don't think you should fly in immediately and be like, you know, aggressive about it. Unless you 100% know.
Yeah, unless you saw them or something. But
we've got an episode on suspicions about cheating.
Yeah.
So listen to that.
But I'm just talking about, you know, maybe someone might have picked on this episode, hard conversation, and think, I don't care about taking the trash out.
If it's not about, if you're not able to do this sort of sit down thing, then I think to me it all comes down to still having some respect for the other person, even if you're frustrated and angry with them, and just thinking, think for yourself before you rush into it, take a deep breath, think, what do I want from this? Do I want an argument? Sometimes you just want an argument, that's fine. But if you want a resolution, if you want to change their opinion or you want them to do something, well, then you're into their own persuasion and you're not going to persuade anyone to do anything by just being aggressive with them.
No.
So you need to then think...
Or distant.
Or distance. You need to think, how do I phrase this? As in, there's a big, like, you know, going back to the example of this conversation, I know that in that Tim Ferriss podcast, he was saying it started off being shit to improve and it got to things I'd like to see more of. Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference in how that's phrased and how the person takes it. So just think, how do I phrase this? And is it going to... Because you could trigger them quite easily. We both know how to say something that's going to piss the other one off. Yeah, we've learned that through experience. So you can think, if I say this, that's going to cause an argument. I want this outcome. I think I need to phrase it like this. These are the questions. Open questions. Not why, but how do we get past that?
Make notes if you need to. Whatever. I mean,
stay calm.
There's a lot of mistakes that we've made. I mean, I sometimes won't say anything until he does it, whatever it is that's bothering me or something, one more time. And then I snap. And when I snap, I'm a fucking bitch. And I'm hateful.
Yeah, and it shuts me down.
Yeah, and then I get nothing out of him. And we don't get anywhere with it. So for me, it's, you know what? This has happened a few times. I'm getting to the end of my rope with it. I need to talk about it now in a calm way. Because if I wait, I'm going to snap and be horrible and we won't get anywhere. And with Rich, like, there was one occasion where there was something that was really bothering him. And instead of talking to me about it, we woke up on a Saturday. And for some reason, like, he'd been fine the night before. And then he was cold and distant. And it scared the shit out of me. Like, I thought, oh my God, he's going to leave me. Like, he wasn't rude. He wasn't shouting at me. He wasn't swearing at me. He was just like, it was almost like I wasn't even there. And it terrified me. And I had to, like, keep on. What's going on? I feel like there's something you're not telling me. Are you okay? Have I upset you? Finally, like, in the afternoon, he finally opened up and talked to me about it.
And it's not that I was necessarily right in the way I handled
it. No, but you didn't know how to handle it. You weren't doing it intentionally.
And again, that's another growth opportunity, because we've had occasions where we both held things in for too long and then it becomes this big block. And we've learned from that to say, okay, so on my part, I'll do that. And then you'll say, look, let's not do this again. Next time you've got something bothering you, just tell me and we'll avoid this. Which meant I wasn't able to go into the next time and say, okay, I don't know how to have this conversation, but... You know, we've agreed that if something's bothering me, I'll bring it up now.
Yeah.
And then it puts you in the frame of mind of, okay, something's going to be said that I may not like, but I know why it's coming up. I know this conversation is better than the alternative. And both of us are like, not really want this conversation, but we know it has to be done. And it's a much more civil, polite conversation than waiting for the inevitable massive argument.
And to be fair, that day that you were really cold and distant, when we finally did talk about it, it was heartfelt, it was tearful, it was... not on his part, but it was really emotional on your part, and it had a really good outcome. So even though it was painful for me throughout the day, because I had no idea what was going on, I could see that something really big was hurting him or bothering him. And so if he had just been like, why isn't this fucking happening? Or why have you done this? Or why haven't you done that? That wouldn't have had a great outcome either. So in some ways that cold, distant day was better than fighting, but we had to figure out what was best. Okay, so fighting's not great. That cold, distant thing, that was really scary, and it really hurt me and was unfair. So let's do this instead. But we had a good outcome from that as well.
Like, and I think it's probably an example of what you said before about, you know, what wouldn't wait. Because I wouldn't have wanted to carry that around for the week or 2 weeks. But we could, you know, but equally we knew not to have the big argument about it. So... Yeah, and I think, you know, okay, we spent a long time in this episode talking about that sort of sit-down meeting, but it's not the only way. It's more about, okay, one, you can be intentional, and two, it's about making sure you're both in the right frame of mind. It's about not ambushing your partner, not springing it on them, not they're having a good day and out of the blue, you've approached it in the wrong way, in a way they feel attacked and picked on and demonised, maybe, and not good enough.
I think that any time you know that you're going to have a hard conversation with your partner, you need to go in it knowing this is the outcome I want. So I either want them to agree that they'll do this thing that I hate or this thing I've been asking them to do. And if that isn't agreed, this is the compromise I could live with, and have an idea of what that looks like. Because then you go in and you have a goal. It's not just to hash it out and to argue. You think, okay, this is what I want from this. I know if I say these two things, it's going to flare him up or flare her up, and that's not going to get me there. But if you go into it, and again, this isn't going to sound romantic, but if you go into it thinking of it like a negotiation, like we said, marriage and relationships can be a bit like a business. When Rich calls up these, you know, different providers for our insurances and our utilities, he has an idea of what we're willing to spend. And of course, he understands we may have to give 10, 15 quid here or there. He goes in, you raised my premium this much for no reason this year. I'm happy to pay this. Can you do that? No. Okay, thank you. I'll be looking for someone else. And then it doesn't become this, oh, you fucking shit service. Like, I know it's not the same conversation, but you need to have a similar mentality. Like,
what do you want? How do I get it? And is it fair for the other person?
Yeah, and going into it with what, knowing what you want to achieve, because you're less likely to get veered off by emotions. Because you know, if you say, you know, oh, you're acting just like your mother or something, that's not going
to
be
serious. Yeah, it's not conducive. But I think it's important to think that this isn't about how you manipulate them into doing things they don't want to do.
No.
It's not about, right, this is my idea of an ideal partner, and they're not it. And this is what, like, it's not about that. I'm a big advocate, a big believer saying you don't get with someone to change them. But there are probably things you can change in the relationship. Like,
yeah, the way you interact.
The way you interact. This is kind of, I need this from you. I need support from you. But not like, this is your whole personality and I don't like it. And you're my project. Like, that's just, don't do that. But so it's not about, okay, I'm going to think about how I phrase this so I can get what I want from them. It's about how you both work together to get a better relationship for both of you. And I think that's really important just to clarify.
Absolutely. And also, it's even, you know, especially if you've been together a long time, you know this person, you know that if you say something, what their likely response is going to be. So even play it out in your head. Okay, so I'm going to sit down and say this. Okay, he's probably going to, okay, but if I say that, then they're going to, you know, do that. Plan it out. And again, it's not manipulating. It's trying to be respectful. And I think I've said this in many episodes. As newlyweds, I was really upset, called my brother, missed home, and he gave me advice that has stuck with me the whole way. I haven't always done it very well, but I remember it, which is marriage is communicating what you need in a way that your partner can hear it. So that's, okay, this is what I need, and this is how they're going to take it well, and I need to try to frame it that way.
And this is where you can think, you know, okay, I know their insecurities, they're going to think they're not good enough, or they're not making me happy, or it depends what your sort of required change is how they'll take it. But you should generally know what could upset them and why. And then you can think, okay, well, I won't phrase it that way. Or I'll say, this isn't an attack on you, or this isn't saying, yeah, you're really good at all this other stuff. It's just in this particular area, I need things to be a bit different. You know, you can just phrase it in a way that's sort of sensitive and aware of how it's going to come back.
Yes, I agree. But the hard conversations have to happen, and if they don't happen,
you haven't got a relationship.
It's not going to end well. It's not going to last. It's going to end badly, because communication is everything, and hard conversations fall into that. But as long as you're aware of the other person's feelings, aware of what you need, and working towards a common goal together, you know, that will help your communication massively. It's hard in the moment, but again, write it down, run through the conversation.
Yeah, I think that's
the have point. Those dates to sit down. Like he said, people think it's weird on this podcast. He said people think it's weird to have a meeting and an agenda and a spreadsheet, which I can totally relate to that. But then I just think back to like our money meetings where we sit down with our budget spreadsheet open and update it. Like it helps us know exactly where we are. And I think that doesn't just have to be with numbers. That can be with emotions. It can be with growth.
There's anything. Nothing wrong with being weird. When you think weird, just means different, right? And if 50% of people are getting divorced, and a lot of people are bad with money and not understanding this and that, then being weird probably means you're putting yourself ahead of them in a better position. And I'm all for that.
What did one of them say? Like, a lot of people think it's weird having documents and stuff, but I think it's weird doing things the way everyone else does them.
Yeah,
in that right. Podcast. Yeah. So yeah, I think there's probably not a great deal more to add to that. Realistically, but
is there a reason why we've not said the guest's name on this?
I don't know. You just said the guest, so I went with it.
Did I? No. I don't even know what episode it was. Maybe you should tell me what the episode was.
It's the most recent one.
Yeah, but they may not listen to this today.
Oh.
Let me find it. You carry on and I'll find it.
I don't really.
You're doing a nice sign off.
I think that these conversations have to happen. You might as well put the time in to make them conducive to your, you know, for the betterment of your relationship and making sure that it gets you what you both need and not just what you want out of it. And No, it's a process and you're going to have to learn, but I just think that'd be a really interesting way to try things.
So if we can, we'll plug this episode. So it's episode 371 of the Tim Ferriss Show with Ramit as the guest. And
Ramit Sethi.
Ramit Sethi, yeah. So a lot of, you know, the bit we're talking about specifically comes in the last sort of, I think, 20 to 30 minutes of the show, so if you wanted to get straight to it. But the episode itself is sort of about finances, and they talk about relationships here and there. But the bit that we're really talking about, if you wanted to hear it from the source, is towards the end. I think it's a worthwhile listen. Certainly, yeah. Inspired this episode.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, it's something that we've been wanting to talk about for a long time, and it kept kind of getting pushed back because, you know, listeners were saying they wanted to talk about that. Yeah, so it worked well.
But yeah, so, you know, let us know if it's been helpful. We're going to be doing a live video on our Instagram probably during the week.
Yeah, this week,
evening,
yeah.
UK time, so it's going to be earlier in the day US time.
We'll put a post up with more details this week.
But we're doing it because we get a lot of questions from people asking about visas, because obviously we've gone through the paper. We've done it for one country, and I think
several years ago.
Yeah, so we're going to just do an episode, a live about
some common tips and stuff. We can't give specifics, unfortunately.
Yeah, so, but join us in it. Being live, we'll be able to take questions on the spot, or we'll be able to, you know, talk about concerns. I mean, potentially we can even have people join us.
Well, we'll see if our tech abilities allow us to do that.
But, you know, so we haven't yet got a specific time or day, but it's going to be during this week, so the first week of June.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. and Mrs. Distance is our Instagram handle. Come and follow us, throw us some questions or things you want us to talk about on that episode, or just watch it, whatever.
Live, not episode.
Yeah, sorry, live video. It'd be good to have people there and asking questions, and we can give each other real-time answers and feedback and things. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Mrs. Distance, same on Twitter, come and talk to us. And come to our website, longdistancetomarriage.com. Come and talk to us.
Please do.
And let us know how this helped.
Yes. Take care, guys. Have a good week.